From Hollywood, California, the Columbia Broadcasting System presents Forecast Number 3, another CBS first night in radio, the dress rehearsal of another new and exciting radio program plainly earmarked for future reference. For the third in its forecast series, Columbia brings you a purple and plush half hour out of the memoirs of Misha the Magnificent, the ultimate in romance, the story of a dream lover come true, the unexpurgated life history of that elfin Romeo, that counterclockwise Casanova, that Peter Pan Don Juan, Misha Hour, in the forecast preview of the memoirs of Misha the Magnificent.
Thus, once again, love was drawing me, Misha the Magnificent, into the whirlpool of marriage. But there was that one great barrier. Her father objected to our marriage. And so did she. Go away! Her vision still lingers in my memory. Platinum hair, silver voice, golden complexion, bronze skin, and brass knuckles. But soon... Sometimes I wish I was not a genius.
Come in.
Where's the rent?
Ah, my dear, wonderful, beautiful, radiant landlady. Won't you have some lunch?
I already had lunch.
Was there any left over?
Where is the rent?
Rent, rent, rent! How many times must I tell you that you'll be getting the rent? I am writing my memoir.
Well, tell him to hurry up and send some money.
No, my little cabbage. I mean, I'm writing the story of my life. My magnificent life. Misha, the darling of royalty. Misha, the man who has held queens in the palm of his hand, kings under his thumb, and aces up his sleeve. Look at this chapter I'm working on now. Love finds Misha. Hardly.
How about the rent?
Ah, what a beautiful woman she was. The most beautiful woman I've ever seen in the whole world. In fact, my charming Rutabaga, she looked not a little like you.
Me? She did?
Yes. Yes, in fact, she looked not any like you. Here, let me read you a few of the golden lines from this chapter, page 16. I, Misha, had grown into a gay, handsome lad of 30 before I knew the meaning of the word love. As a matter of fact, there were several words I didn't know the meaning of. Cat, dog, house, and many others. But then one warm evening in June, something seemed to urge me to move on, to get out into the world. It was the landlord. So I went into the world, and on the shores of a far distant tropical land, I met Zoma. Ah!
Was she pretty?
Ravishing. Such eyes. Such lips. Ah, those lips. Lips like petals.
Rose petals?
No, ping-pong petals. She was a Ubangi. But somehow our love was not to be. Something kept us apart. Her lips. But then into my life came Dolores, Dolores of the golden tresses. Ah, long shall I remember our last night together on the Riviera. Ah, Dolores.
Ah, Misha. Misha.
I love you, Dolores. I love to run my fingers through your golden tresses.
Misha, will you love me when my golden hair has turned to silver?
Yes, but I'd love you a lot more if it would turn to aluminum. That was our last night together. But my shattered heart was soon mended when fate brought Charmaine into my life. I was intrigued by her flashing eyes, her tiger spirit. It was on a moonlit deck that we met. I looked at her, she looked at me, and we never looked at each other again. Hardly had the embers from this burning romance died in the afterglow when fate brought Juanita into my arms. Beautiful, determined, vibrant Juanita Jones. It was the romantic season in California when thousands gather to pick grapes. In fact, that's where we met, picking grapes. Along about the seventh row, we accidentally reached for the same grape. Our hands touched, and Juanita, blushing, said,
"Hey, lay off on that grape I seen at first."
Oh, no, my pretty one. I seen it first.
Oh, no, you didn't. I seen it first.
But no, I seen it first.
Oh, shut up. I seen it first.
And to this day, no one knows which one of us seen it first. And after that, we parted. She to Salinas to pick lettuce, and I to the city, where I met my love of love, Mrs. Teresa Maddox. Our historic meeting took place at the boardwalk of Atlantic City. Our words were brief, but full of meaning, and something warm passed between us. I was the first to speak.
Hot dogs, hot dogs, get them while they're hot. Contented canines from happy kennels. How about you, Duchess? A hot dog?
A hot dog? Huh? How delightfully bourgeois. Yes. Yes, I think I'll try one.
Ah, please do. And how will you have it accoutred?
I beg your pardon?
Well, do you want it with the standard equipment? You know, mustard, pickle, onions?
Oh, no. I always eat them with nothing on.
Really? Don't you get pretty chilly? After that, our romance lagged a little. All I had as a souvenir was a handkerchief she had dropped at the hot dog stand. A mustard-stained handkerchief with the name Teresa Maddox embroidered in the corner. But undaunted, I carried on the search. Hello? Is this the Bureau of Missing Persons?
Yes.
Well, let me talk to the chief.
I'm sorry. The chief has been missing for 3 years.
Yes, what do you want?
Does Teresa Maddox live here?
No, she don't.
She doesn't?
Nope.
Then how about a sandwich?
City YMCA. No Teresa Maddox listed here.
Cleveland, Ohio. No Teresa Maddox listed in phone book. Boston, Massachusetts. No Teresa Maddox listed in the blue book.
Louisville, Kentucky. Yeah, there's a Teresa Maddox listed in the winter book. She's running in the third race.
Thus, fate threw obstacle after obstacle into the path of our fervent romance. So broken-hearted, I plunged into business in an attempt to forget my beloved Teresa. One day, while in the midst of an important business session, a very pressing business, I was...
Hey, Misha.
Yes, sir.
Hurry up and get those pants pressed.
Yes, sir. I'm working on the pressing machine now. Not done yet. That's beginning to look better. Just about done. Ah, Natsuki! Burn the hamburger again.
Miss, how many times do I have to tell you not to fry hamburgers in the pressing machine? Why do you keep frying hamburgers in there?
On my salary, can I get shashlik?
Shashlik, hamburgers, food, that's all you think about. Food, hamburgers. How do you expect to get any place if all you think about is food? Food will ruin you. Now forget about food and get to work. You watch the shop. I'm going out.
Where are you going?
Out to eat.
Perhaps he is right. Perhaps I should pay more attention to what I'm doing. Well, this time I won't let the hamburger burn. No. Tum, 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 tum. Rum, pum, pum, pum.
Pum, 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 pum. Monsieur, you press the suit, no?
No, I press the suit, yes.
Then press.
This suit I must have right away. Already I am late. Some pig of a cab driver. She splashed water on my pretty dress suit, and I must be immaculate for the festivities and the dance.
Dance?
May we?
May who?
May we?
No, thanks. I think I'll sit this one out.
Pig, do not make the joke. Perhaps you do not know who I am. I am Monsieur Pierre de Lagoon. My papa, she is president of a big French Indochina railroad. My uncle, she is president of a very big bank. My brother, she is president of a great oil company. And my mama.
Yes, your mama. What is he doing now?
Rabble. Hurry with the suit. I must get to this big affair. You realize she has not seen me for 6 long years.
What a lucky girl. All right, all right. Slip off the suit and you can wait in the back room.
Eh bien. Here's the coat.
Mm.
The vest.
Mm.
And here's the pants.
Mm-hmm. What lovely scarlet shorts you are wearing.
Nothing but the best for Monsieur de Lagoon.
Make them yourself?
Fool. These are the latest Parisian creations. They are Mademoiselle Scapioli.
Well, you should give them back to her. They probably fit her much better.
Quit making the jokes and press the pants.
Well, okay, Tavarish. You get in the back room there, and Misha, she will press your suit heat.
Right here, monsieur.
Da-na-na-na. Da-na-na-na. Ah, look here, what's in this pocket? An invitation to a big wedding, and a wedding supper. Supper, what a beautiful word. Supper. Supper.
Misha, oh, Misha, you could go to that supper. Yes, the supper, Misha, you could go. Think, Misha, food, food.
Who said that?
You remember me, Misha?
Oh, yes. Didn't I meet you in Kansas City?
No, Misha. I am the small, still, nasty voice. I am your evil self. Listen to me, Misha. You can go to that wedding supper.
I can?
Of course, Misha, of course. You've got the invitation. You've got the man's suit. Try it on, Misha. Try it on.
Do you think I should?
Well, just try it on for size.
But what about Monsieur Pierre de Lagoon?
There is a key in the door, Misha. A nice little key, Misha. Just turn it, Misha. No, Misha, no, don't do it. Listen to me, Misha. I'm your good self.
My, it's getting crowded in here.
Now, Misha, now is the time to act, Misha. Lock him in.
No, Misha, you mustn't. You must not. You cannot.
But remember, Misha, food, food. Mock turtle soup, Misha.
No, Misha, you mustn't go. Think of your honor.
And there'll be pheasant, Misha. Tender, juicy breast of pheasant.
Forget all that, Misha. Think only of honor, Misha.
And, Misha, there'll be caviar. Yes, caviar.
Eh? Caviar? No, 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 Misha, don't go.
And then there will be...
Eh? What kind of caviar?
Imported caviar.
You know, Misha, a little food never hurt anyone.
Well, boys, maybe you are right.
Of course we're right. Come on, Misha, lock the old buzzard in and let's get going.
Okay. Hey, wait a minute, good self. I thought you told me not to go.
Don't pay any attention to me, Misha. I'm just a jerk.
Thus it was that I, Misha the Magnificent, received an invitation to the season's most fashionable wedding and wedding supper. And once again was thrown into the mad, gay social world from which I had again and again tried to escape. I arrived late at the affair due to a traffic accident with a streetcar. The conductor kept me throwing off me. I was further detained because a friend of mine with a French accent has just presented me with a fine watch
And naturally, I want to get something in exchange for it. I did. $3. When I arrived at the scene of the festivities, the mansion was filled with gaiety and excitement.
My, aren't the decorations lovely? I just know she's going to have a beautiful wedding.
Yes, indeed. In fact, I think it'll be the most beautiful one she's had so far.
By the way, have you met Pierre de Lagoon yet?
No, I don't think he's even here yet.
My, I wonder what he looks like. Those French India Chinamen are so handsome.
Well, I doubt if even Teresa What's-Her-Name will remember what he looks like. It's been 6 or 7 years since she's seen him.
They say he's terribly rich. Has a rubber plantation or something.
Maybe he could get us a set of tires wholesale.
Monsieur Pierre de Lagoon.
Oh, look, there he is now. Oh, yoo-hoo, Monsieur de Lagoon.
Ah, my charming Mrs.
Bedley.
Mrs. Bedley, it's so good to see you again.
Again? We've never met before.
We haven't? Oh, of course not. What's the matter with me? I was thinking of Mrs. Whatchamacaller over there.
Oh, no. She's never met you either.
No? Then it must have been...
No, it couldn't be her either. You see, none of us have ever met you.
You haven't?
No, but we've heard a lot about you.
It's a lie.
Oh, monsieur, you're such a jolly one.
You know, I cannot understand me. All these beautiful women all around there, I've never met them.
How could you? With your work way down there on the plantation.
Oh, yes, of course. My work at the plantation? Oh, yes. Row after row of snowy white cotton. Picking, picking, picking all day long. The wages are low, but I love it.
Cotton? You mean you raise cotton in Indochina?
Oh, Indochina. Oh, yes, yeah. Well, the plantation is not right in Indochina. It's a little west of there. In Louisiana.
But I understood that your plantation was in French Indochina.
Oh, well, that one, yes. Right in the heart of China, and you should see it. Acres and acres of chop suey.
Chop suey?
Barrels of it.
But I thought you were a big India rubber man.
Oh, that, yes. Well, I was for a while, but circus life was too strenuous. But I loved it, though. You know, the smell of the sawdust, the pink lemonade, the hot dogs and hamburgers. What do you say we take a little jaunt past the snack bar? Maybe we could catch a sandwich.
Oh, no, you can't go now. Here comes someone who's looking for you.
Oh, he is not wearing scarlet shorts, is he?
Oh, you're such a joker. Yoo-hoo, here he is. Here's Monsieur de Lagoon.
Ah, there you are, Pierre, my boy. We've certainly been looking forward to meeting you. We'd like to know more about you.
Yes, so would I.
How's everything on the plantation?
Oh, fine, fine. Never been better.
Uh-huh. By the way, what's rubber doing on the market today, Pierre?
Oh, it's way up, way, way up.
Well, that's funny. My brother told me rubber was down.
Well, it's sort of a two-way stretch.
Oh, that delicious French wit. You know, the missus and I are certainly looking forward to visiting you down there. We'd planned to make it a surprise.
Don't worry, it will be.
Exactly how do we get out to your plantation?
Well, it's a little difficult to say, but the best way is to go south till you get to India, then turn.
Yes?
Then you go over a big mountain, a very big mountain. An awfully big... No, I don't think you can make it.
Oh, yes, we can. Where to then?
Then you go through a long, low valley. Mm-hmm. Then you stop at a filling station and get a road map of California.
California? But we're traveling in India.
I know, but the roads are much better in California.
But how do we get to the plantation?
Oh, yes, yes. Well, then you turn left and you go 60 miles till you come to a beautiful river.
Yes.
Then you come back 60 miles.
Come back 60 miles? Why?
The bridge is out.
Well, never mind. We'll find out when we get down there. Come on, I think you better meet some of the family before the wedding. I'm sorry you won't get to meet our youngest daughter. She's coming out next week.
Really? What's she in for?
There's Mother over there crying as usual. She always cries on our daughter's wedding day. You know, it's not easy to give our little girl away.
Well, if she looks anything like her mother, I can understand why.
Oh, that's a good one, Pierre. I'm glad to see you've got a sense of humor. Man needs a sense of humor at a wedding. Don't you think so?
I certainly do. By the way, who is your daughter married?
What a sense of humor. Yes, sir, I'm glad you've got a sense of humor, Pierre. My daughter's mighty lucky to get you for a husband.
Yeah, she certainly is lucky to get me for it. Me? Me? Oh.
The poor boy's sinking.
Oh, my. Oh. Oi, 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 oi.
That's it. That's it, Pierre. Take it easy. You'll be all right. I felt the same way on my wedding day.
Oh, I guess I am all right. Now, what were you saying? Let's run through that again very slowly.
Oh, yes, I know how you feel, my boy. It's hard to realize that you're on the threshold of the grand adventure of matrimony. But you will soon realize it, Pierre. Just think, in a few minutes you will take as your mate my little daughter, Teresa Maddox.
Teresa Maddox? Oh! Oy, 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 Teresa. Maddox. Ay, 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 ay. Maddox, Teresa.
Oh. Yes, darling, I'm right here. Teresa will take care of her, Pierre. Come on, now. I'll help you stand up. That's it. Now we can start the wedding.
Wedding?
Oh, you poor boy. Have you been ill lately?
I'm sick.
Poor dear, I can see you've been ill. It's changed you so much, you seem like a different person.
I am.
Well, come on, dear. They're ready to start the wedding march.
But look, there's something you ought to know about
me. Oh, silly. Teresa knows everything about her darling, Pierre. Why, from that moment in Indochina, when he proclaimed to the skies he'd moved heaven and earth to marry little Teresa, and if any man tried to come between us, he'd slit his throat.
Slit his throat?
Why, yes. What's the trouble? You're getting pale again.
I'm sicker than I thought.
Well, you'll feel better after the wedding. Come on, they're waiting for us, dear.
But wait, I have a confession to make. I'm really not...
Oh, that can wait till we're on our honeymoon. Please hurry, dear. Take my hand and let us march down the aisle and tie a knot that couldn't be cut with a knife.
Don't say knife!
Oh, darling, this is such a wonderful moment. It means that from now on, Teresa and Pierre will... Oh, well, in short... Pierre will be locked up forever.
In shorts, Pierre is locked up.
Now I can stop worrying about him escaping.
You can stop.
Oh, listen, dear, it started, the wedding march. Come, dear, take my hand.
Wait a minute, Teresa. I'm not the man you think I am. I must tell you something about my past.
Oh, forget the past. The past will soon be buried.
That's what I'm worried about.
Hurry up, darling. Don't walk so slow. You act as though this is a funeral march.
Who is acting?
Darling, please be serious. You're such a gay blade.
Don't say blade.
Oh, please walk faster, dearest. Everyone's staring at us.
But look, I...
Pierre, hold on to me. I think I'm getting giddy. I'm seeing things.
Things?
Yes, silly things. Like imagining there's a strange-looking man following us down the aisle.
A strange-looking man? Is he wearing a top hat?
Yes.
White tie?
Yes.
And scarlet shorts?
Yes.
Stand back and give me air. I did not see Teresa Maddox again. In fact, I didn't see anyone for several months. But finally, my eyes healed. And to this day, I carry with me a memento of the famous Misha Maddox romance. And I carry it very close to my heart. It's a broken rib. And there you have it, my beautiful landlady. The most tender chapter in my magnificent life. Is it not wonderful?
Well, there's one question I'd like to ask.
Of course, my little cabbage. What is it?
Where's the rent?
You have just heard Misha Hour in the first of the memoirs of Misha the Magnificent, presented from Hollywood in Columbia's forecast series of radio previews. As may be imagined from this sample, the conquests of Misha Hour, Muscovite melter of hearts that he is, are endless. and his capacity for continuing them from week to week, even he would not question. So if you like this new radio idea and would like to have it come to the air as a regular weekly feature, please write to CBS and tell us so. Forecast number 3 was directed by Sterling Tracy. It was written by Roswell Rogers and Carl Hertzinger. Background music was composed and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. Next Monday, same time, same station, the forecast lineup reads as follows. Forecast number 4 from New York. Dudley Diggs, star of countless Broadway and Hollywood productions, with a brilliant supporting cast in Tibby and the Houlihans, a new and rollicking Irish-American comedy which relates the life and predicaments of one Tibby Houlihan. Forecast number 5 from Hollywood, Adolphe Monjou and Billy Teasdale in Deductions Deluxe, a new detective comedy show written by Keith Fowler and Frank Galen. You who like your mystery with a smile will want to follow this charming and talented couple through their adventures in The Affair of the Evil Angel, the first of their Deductions Deluxe. Next Monday, then, same time, same station, be sure to listen to these two forecast premieres. Frank Goss speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.